let's get into this. Because, I mean, I think, especially right now, especially in this whole age range, I mean, I know it's been a long time since I've been in high school and stuff, but some things never change. Because the truth is, everybody's just trying to fit in, right? I mean, everybody's trying to, and the older you get, maybe to a certain degree, it's a little bit less. But even old people, even old folks with gray hair, they want to fit in. Everybody wants to be a part of something, right? Nobody wants to be alone. It just happened a couple days ago. But, you know, we all know, I mean, maybe you heard on the news as well that, you know, Robin Williams passed away, right? I mean, I know that's, I mean, that's, as I miss Doubtfire, right? That's the genie, you know? I mean, and it's really sad. But you know, he said, he had a quote. He said, you know, he quoted, a lot of people think the worst thing in the world is to be alone. He said, but I think it's different. I think the worst thing in the world is to be with people that make you feel alone. Now that is deep, Robin. I mean, that's like, if you think about it, that's heavy, right? That's heavy, right? Right? I mean, I know it's not in the Bible, but that's really heavy. And I mean, here's this guy, you know, even, you know, 60 years old, and he's struggling with this idea of being alone. You know, he struggles with this, with the feeling of not, I mean, for a person to commit suicide, it says that I have nobody here who understands me. Nobody here knows what I'm going through. There's nobody I can talk to. And you know, the truth is that's not the way it is. That's not the way God designed it. And that's not the way God wants it to be. And you know, and I hope you, if you feel that way, if you ever feel that way, if you ever feel like you're alone, if you're in this position, you ever feel like you just like you're a square peg trying to get into a round hole. If you ever feel like that way, I hope you have the courage, and I hope you have the remembrance to slap yourself silly until that feeling gets out of you, because it's not true. It's not true. It's the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite. You know, God has designed you. God has created you to belong, to fit into a place. And everybody has their place. You know, I mean, in junior high, high school, you know the breakdown, right? You go to lunch. You look out of the lunch quad or whatever the case is. You see people sitting together, right? Everybody's got their crew. Everybody's got their clique. Everybody's got their, like, little label. You know, I mean, people like, I don't want to be labeled. Don't try to pin me down. Shut up, because you know that's what it is, right? That's the way you classify everybody, right? Everybody's got their classifications, and it's horrible. It's terrible. It's terrible. You know, by the way they dress, the music they listen to, the amount of money they have, the whether they play sports or don't play sports, they do their hair this way or that way. Maybe it's, you know, the clothes. I mean, this is the way it is. That's just the way it is. But we have to get to the place as teenagers, as young adults, for all of us old people in this place, we have to get to the place where we can look beyond that to a greater similarity. I mean, there's nothing wrong with hanging out with your people, right? There's nothing wrong with, because you got your crew, you got your people, you got your things you talk about. I mean, look, there's nothing wrong with all the softball girls hanging out with all the that's not a bad thing. But it's only bad if the people you identify isolates you from the people that you don't easily identify with. See, there's nothing wrong with finding people that you're close to, you're tight with, that you can, you know, understand. But the problem is this, is if you can't look beyond that at the bigger picture. You know, we talked earlier in the worship about, you know, the people in church all around this place. I remember, you know, years ago I went on a mission trip to Russia, and it was crazy because, you know, I had the opportunity with the group. We did like dramas and stuff like that, and we ended up going to this little church. I don't know, it was like a basement. It was kind of scary. And then we had dinner, we had lunch underneath the church in the basement's basement, and it was pickled tomatoes. Praise you, Jesus. You know, I was like, not having none of that. But I remember being in that church service, and there was like these little kids with flags jumping around, and there was like this big sweaty dude with a comb over playing that piano, and he was just rocking that keyboard. He's like, do, 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 do. These people were singing in languages I didn't even understand. And I remember feeling in that church basement in the middle of the forest of Russia, I remember thinking, man, it feels like home. Meet people dress different, they smell different, they ate different food, they talk different language. I mean, they look different than me, but it felt like home, because of all the differences, we had one thing in common, and that was Jesus Christ. We have one thing in common, the fact that we believed in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. The fact that we had a faith, that we believed similar things. That the way I choose to live my life, even though it may be different than them, is based on the same thing. Different than what we liked or didn't like. Who I was is the same as who they were. And maybe you dress different, talk different, walk different. Maybe you play a different sport. Maybe you think a little bit different. But you know what? Together, we need to realize that we all have a place we belong, not because of what we like or what's on the outside, but because of who we are on the inside. If you're a child of God, the person next to you a child of God, that means that you guys belong. That means that you guys have a similarity, regardless of what part of the city you came from and what part of the city they came from, regardless of what their dad does or the fact that you don't even got a dad. It doesn't matter. You sit on the right side or left side of church. Don't matter. Don't matter. Because of what's on the inside of you that makes you you is similar. See, it's what I loved about Jesus. It's what I loved about Jesus. I still love about him today. Is that when Jesus walked the earth, he reached everybody. In John 3rd chapter, he reached a dude named Nicodemus. Nicodemus, he was like a college professor. He was like a pastor. He was like a highly educated, respected man. Jesus reached out to him, and Nicodemus loved this dude. Nicodemus talked to him, and he was even there at the cross. But you know what? At the other hand, here is this highly respected, highly intelligent, respected man. And at the other end of the spectrum, you have a man like Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, if you don't know who he is, he was a beggar, a poor man. He was the dude on the side of the street with the cardboard sign. He couldn't see. He was blind. He begged. He couldn't get a job. When he started talking, people told him to shut up. I don't know how many people told you to shut up when you talk, but that's what they did to him every day. Every day. People walked by him, and they made sure they didn't look him in the eye. Because they're like, oh, I got to give him a dollar now. I looked him in the eye. He knows I saw him. Right? You know what I'm saying? That's this guy. And Jesus reached Nicodemus. And he reached Bartimaeus. Why? Because with Jesus, they're all the same. They're all the same. Jesus reached a dude named Peter. You guys know Peter? Dude with the big mouth, life of the party. They're like, oh, you have a party? You want to invite Peter? Yeah. Oh, I'm going to be there then. Because it'll be a crazy Peter. But then you got a dude like John. John the disciple, little quiet John. The dude who's always sitting in the corner during the party, sipping on his fruit punch, just kind of watching things happen. While Peter's over there with the lampshade on his head doing cartwheels. You know what I'm saying? All different kinds. Jesus reached all different kinds because they all belonged. You know, I said it earlier, that there's enough room at the foot of the cross for everybody. For people like a man named Zacchaeus, who did everything right, and his job was to make sure everybody else stood in line too. He was a hall monitor, the tattletale, the snitch. And then a woman named Mary Magdalene, who was a prostitute. Dang, that's crazy. Get those two people in a room, going to be a little bit of tension. Conversation going to die down real quick. Cricket, cricket. Oh no, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? Jesus walk in the room. Everybody belongs. Everybody belongs. That's kind of cool. There's this story in Luke, the 14th chapter. I just want to read a couple of verses to you guys. But in Luke, the 14th chapter, I think this is really kind of fitting, especially with school coming up. You know, all the people you want to see, all the people you don't want to see, all the students and teachers and administration and security guards you don't want to have no part of. Look, in Luke 14th chapter, Jesus tells a story. And he says, in Luke 14:16, Jesus says, a certain man, he gave a great supper, brother, threw a party. He invited many people. And he sent his servant to the supper time to say to those who were invited, he said, look, guys, I want you to go out there because the dinner's almost ready. He says, go to those people I invited. Come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. First said, look, I bought a piece of ground. I got to go and see it. Another, he said, you got to have me excused. Another guy said, I bought a yoke of oxen. I'm going to test them. So please excuse me. Another guy who was invited said, I just married a wife. But seriously, you just married a wife that day. You knew about this. Why you gotta plan something on the same day? Therefore, I cannot come to you. So the servant came and reported these things to the master. The master of the house, he started to get angry. He said to the servant, look, go. Get out of here quickly. Go to the streets, the lanes of the city. Bring in here the poor, the blind, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And the servant said, master, look, we already did that. We already got him. It's all done just as you commanded. But there's more room. So the master said, go to the highways and the hedges, and you compel people to come so that my house can be filled. Dang. He didn't care. See, God doesn't care where you come from. Doesn't care what you're like. Doesn't care what your excuse is. He just wants you there with him. Jesus said, he says, go to the old people that are left out. Go to the people that never got invited to a party. Get them here, because they're going to come to my party. They're going to come to my dinner, because this mac and cheese ain't going to eat itself. He says, you need to come. He said, the food is too expensive. It tastes too tasty. I rented a Siberian tiger. Somebody's got to look at it. So get somebody in here so they can see the things that we're going to do and enjoy the place and the plan, the party that I've prepared. See, everybody belongs. The guy who got married, the guy who just bought some land, the guy who just made a business deal with his oxen, look, they belong too. They just missed it. Everyone in this place has been invited. Everybody at your school has been invited. The people you want and the people you don't want to see. Everybody's been invited. But what's the deal? What's holding people back? What makes you think that you don't belong? Because it goes through all of our heads sometimes. I just don't fit in. It happens to us all the time. Maybe I'm doing this wrong. You know what I'm saying. You walk by and you hear people laugh. Are they talking about me? You know you've done that before, right? Especially if they start talking another language you don't understand. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I only speak two languages. That's English, and I speak in tongues, and that's about it. And I can't even understand the second one I speak. So, sorry, that was a Pentecostal joke. But and insecurity creeps up into you. What are they saying? Are they talking about me? Look, I know this shirt is 2 days dirty, but they can't tell, can they?
I never do that. But if it don't smell, never mind.
But see, these thoughts creep up in our mind, and then we end up getting things twisted in our brains. Maybe we end up thinking thoughts that we shouldn't think. Maybe we end up judging people we shouldn't end up judging. Maybe we end up thinking the opposite of Jesus, where Jesus says, "Look, I just want heaven's too good to try to keep people out." And nobody here is too weak, too dirty. Nobody here is too bad, too ugly, too dumb. Nobody here is too insecure. Nobody here is too short, too tall. Nobody here is too this, too that, not enough this, not enough that, to not belong with Jesus Christ. I love the verse in the Bible where it says, in Timothy, it says that God doesn't desire anybody to perish, but that all would know him. So to belong, to know that, To belong really means that you've got to know that God understands you. And I don't know if you need to be told this again or what, but God understands you. God understands you. God understands you. And if somebody understands you, you're not alone. Have you ever just gone to talk to somebody and they end up talking too much? I just want you to listen to me. I didn't want you to like lecture me, right?
Or am I? Maybe don't make me feel like I'm alone in this place, somebody. Okay, but
when you go to God, God gets you. Maybe your friend, maybe your mom, maybe your teacher, maybe your counselor, maybe your probation officer. Maybe they don't get you. Maybe they don't get you, but God gets you. I mean, you know, if you study other religions, if you study history and stuff like that, you'll find a big difference between what the Bible teaches and what other religions teach. The other religions, things that they'll teach, that you're here, but we are here to be at a distance and to serve and to be the slaves of the gods.
look, I mean, look, if you've done the Roman mythology thing in school, you know that's the way it is. They're here to kind of, you know, make sure things just go the way they want to. But with God, it's different. God's always wanted to be your companion. God's always wanted you close to him. See, that's the difference between what we believe and what belief is out there, is that God desires to be close to you. I love what the verse, just go ahead and put it up there in Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. Hebrews 4, 15, if you guys got it, go ahead and put it up there. It says, we do not have a high priest, that's Jesus, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet he didn't sin. I love what it says. We have a high priest who understands us. That's what it says. He understands your weakness. I mean, think about that. God himself stepped down and was born. He cried. Look, somebody had to change Jesus' diaper. Tell me that's not weird. Be like, Jesus, woo, 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 Jesus. That's stinky. Woo, woo. Oh, Lord, what you been eating, Lord? You know, I mean, they had to change Jesus' diaper. Look, Jesus knows what it's like to get in trouble for something he didn't do. When he's 12 years old, his parents lose him. They find him in church, start yelling at him. I didn't do anything, Mom. Oh, Jesus, you got lost. I wasn't lost. I found you. No, that was like, never mind, whatever. Okay, so, look. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. That's something, look. Everybody in this room, I don't care who you are, how hard you are. I don't care how tough you are. I don't care how many I don't care if you're 13 years old, you got your whole back tatted up. Everybody's done the ugly face cry. Your moco's going down your face. Everybody's done that. Everybody. And if you haven't, just you wait. It's coming. Everybody. Everybody's done that. Everybody's had that pain inside of them. Jesus wept. Jesus watched his best friend die. I mean, granted, dude raised him from the dead, but still, Jesus had compassion. His heart hurt. Jesus got angry, wanted to beat somebody up, throwing over tables, whipping people. You know, you felt like that sometimes. Jesus went through all the. Jesus had his friends turn his back on him. Jesus was lied about. That sound familiar? Jesus had people gossip and spread rumors about him. Jesus said people hate him for no good reason at all. Look, God gets you. God understands you. And when you realize that the things you go through, you're not alone in it, then it kind of, I don't know about you, but it makes me feel like I can do this. It makes me feel like I can stand up and I can hold my head high and say, look, this is not the first time this road has ever been walked. But somebody else, Jesus Christ, has walked in these same footsteps that I've walked before, and he's held his head high, and he's walked through it, and he's come out on the other side. And if he could do it, then I can do it. Why? Because he's in me, leading me through the places he went to. Dang, that's kind of cool. When Jesus died on the cross, he experienced what you've experienced. Every pain, every hurt was put on his body for me and you. We have somebody. Look, Jesus is the author and the finisher. He knows your hurts. He knows your joys. And he knows your story beginning to end. He knows you better than you know yourself. The Bible says he knit you. He put you together in your mother's womb. He knows you better than you know yourself. So when you don't even know why you're doing this, when your mom says, why'd you do that? I don't know. Jesus does. And Jesus, why am I so stupid sometimes? I just don't know why I did that. That was so dumb. God's like, I know it was dumb. And this is why. God gets it. God gets you. God has walked in your shoes before. But because of that, that means you've got to understand other people. Because it's not just about you and God. It's about understanding other people. I mean, look, God hasn't called us to serve him alone. But God's called us to serve as a church. And this is the hard part. Because anybody can serve Jesus, it's just all the other people get in the way. Because let's be real, you guys are punks. I mean, right? You guys are punks. You guys are jerks sometimes. And so am I. So am I. I know the youth pastor not calling you a jerk. Youth pastor calling everybody a jerk. Even Miguel. Even me. Megan's a jerk all the time. Look, that's just the way it is. I mean, I'm not even getting the Sal. That's a whole different story. Oh, Lord. Just ask Jessica. But I'm just kidding. Sal's a good guy. If you need a limo, talk to this dude. But we're all punks, and we've got to be able to understand each other, because that's the key to belonging. I mean, what good is if you connect with God, but you disconnect from everybody else in this room? And one of these days, I ought to make you guys get up and just sit on the other side of the room. This is what the room looks like on this side. This is what the front row feels like. This is what the back row feels like. Because we come in here, we sit in the same chair every week, talk to the same people every week, and that's cool. But where does the part come where the first timer comes in and nobody talks to them, or the person in the corner just kind of twiddles their thumb, or the really quiet person, or the person who really wants to be loud but they don't know anybody, so they're really quiet? You know what I'm saying? Where does that come in where we begin to get outside of ourselves? And you know you belong, but how about everybody else? When's the last time you've helped somebody feel like they belong? Because that's where we go from where we're at now to the next level. I'm going to tell you this. If you consider yourself a leader, if you say you love Jesus, then your job is to make people feel like they belong. To make people feel like they belong. No matter what they look like, no matter who they are, to make them feel like they belong. Because everybody belongs. Everybody has a place at the foot of Jesus. And if that's what church is, then that's what we need to do. Romans 12:10. If you guys got it, go ahead and put it up there. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. That's family talk right there. We're family. In honor, giving preference to one another. You know God understands you. Now, how about you start understanding other people? When you know the fact that they look, bottom line, like I said, no matter what color their skin is, or what pattern they got on their shirt, no matter who they are, they're just like you. They're just like you. They're just like you. You just got to get through all the outside to get to the part that's like you. And when you realize that, then you'll be cool. I mean, just think about the first time you came to this church. Looking around, who's here? I don't get it. That guy talks too much. Where's the bathroom? I don't know where the bathroom is, or what's behind me. Oh, I feel dumb now. Right? First time you came into youth, oh, look at these guys, they're so tall. I was in sixth grade. Now this dude's got a mustache. Oh, wait, that's a girl. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, you know, I'm just kidding. See, we've all felt these things before. And when you realize that, then it makes it easier for you to be able to help people to fit in to this place. So one of the things that makes God the maddest is when we exclude people. But at the end of it all, to know that you belong, you've got to understand that God knows you. He gets you. That we got to get other people. But lastly is that you've got to get God. See, it's easy to say God understands us. But what about you understanding God? Right? Does God feel like he belongs in this place? Are we welcoming him in? I mean, we expect God to do everything for us. But what about us doing things for God? Do you try to understand God? And that's a hard thing to do because, well, he's God and we're not. But in James 4, you've heard it before. It says, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. The verse right before that says, submit to God. Submit to God. Submit to God. That means ultimately, God will accept you however you are. It doesn't matter who you are, what you believe, who you're dating, what you're into, what you put in your veins, or what you smoke into your lungs. It doesn't matter who you're with or not with, or who you've been with, or who you're going to be with next. Look, that does not concern God up until the point where you say, God, I want to be a part of the party. Because see, not everybody was invited to the party, but not everybody made it to the party. The people that weren't willing to change their plans are the people that didn't get to come. Interesting. The people that weren't willing to change their plans are the people that weren't able to come. But everybody else, they made it. See, the only thing that'll keep God away from you is you refusing to change. The saying goes like this, God will take you however you are, but he won't leave you that way. Maybe you heard it said this way. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. See what I'm saying? This is where it breaks down. Is that God loves you so much that nothing you can do would push him away from you. Except for you saying, God, we're going to do this my way. No. God needs you to have the heart to change. No matter what you're into, no matter what you do, hey, that's cool. Just as long as you're willing to let God change you piece by piece, step by step. This now, that later. And if you're cool with that, then they're cool. Because nobody has to miss the party. Nobody has to miss what God's invited you to. The only stipulation is you got to answer the invitation and change your plans and say, well, this ox, this piece of land, not that important. Wife, well, you're pretty important. Why don't you come with me, right? So that's the bottom line. In this place, everybody belongs, whether you're Nicodemus or whether you're Bartimaeus, whether you're Peter, whether you're John, whether you're Zacchaeus or whether you're Mary Magdalene. No matter what your story is, you belong. Because I don't know if you see the family resemblance in the person next to you, but it's there. We family. We belong. You guys, that's right, brother. From a different mother. Just same Jesus. Different mother, same Jesus. Look at you guys. Multiculturalism at its best. But that's it. Last thing here, and let's shut this thing down. But in Luke 23, Jesus was crucified on the cross. On his right, a thief. On the left, a thief. Now, I don't know what those dudes stole to get them killed. Must have been pretty bad. But the thief on his right said, Jesus, am I going to make it? He said, Jesus, he said, Lord, don't forget me. Jesus said, look, today you'll be with me in paradise. No one gets left out. The thief on his left started making fun of him. He didn't have to because he was the exact same as the guy next to him. The only difference, dude didn't want to change. He didn't want to accept the invitation. Anybody who doesn't make it, it's because they didn't want to make it. Because they wanted to do it their way instead of God's way. So if you're in this place, let's shut this thing down. You're invited. You're invited to everything. You belong in this church. You belong in the family of God. You belong because God loves you. And there's nothing you can do to make God not love you. But there's only one thing you can do to keep God away from you. And that's to push him away. That's to refuse God's invite. I mean, you've been invited. You weren't left out. You weren't forgotten. God knows your name. But are you asking for his name? So in this place, I want to ask you if you're right with God. Are you right with God? Are you living for God? I'm not asking if you're nice. I'm not asking if you're kind. I'm not asking if you're polite. I'm not asking if you go to church, because that's good too. I'm not asking, you know, if you believe in Jesus, because the truth is a lot of people believe in Jesus. Matter of fact, the Bible even says the demons believe in Jesus, but they're not going to make it to heaven. They're not going to make it to heaven just because they have a head knowledge. I memorized this scripture. I know I can name the disciples. No, that's not what God's looking for. And God's not looking for you just to come and put your butt in a chair because church is in a chair singing a song, listening to some dude talk. And you know what? God's not looking for somebody to be nice or kind because that's not what God wants. God wants more than that because you don't got to believe in Jesus to be nice. So God wants something bigger than that. God wants you to answer his call.